Secondary principals in South Auckland say the government's plans for reopening schools will come too late for many of their students. Students in years 11, 12 and 13 will be allowed back to school in alert level 3 after the long weekend. The principal of Tangaroa College in Otara, Davida Suasua, says a quarter of her year 13 students are now working full-time as essential workers to support their families. In fact, I think it's nearer 40%. She says many of these students had planned to go to university next year, but that will now not happen. Ms. Suasua says after last year's lockdowns, the school's rolls dropped by 25%, and she expects the same this year. I asked for her reaction to the Education Minister's announcement.
In shock and disbelief, to be honest. In my community, where COVID is very evident and the vaccinations are low, it is a concern.
Are there other pressures too on teachers and pupils?
Huge pressures. It's just been opened, I feel, for exams, you know, which serves a certain community, and it just highlights inequalities that are actually happening within our system now due to COVID.
Do you believe that perhaps post-Christmas there was an opportunity for a sort of a summer school option? Can I just ask you if you think there might have been another option other than trying to get all this done before the end of the year?
Oh, absolutely. I think they should have had an option of a summer school, like universities actually do, to allow our students, you know, if things, vaccinations went up, things started to calm a little bit, it would free those students that are only casually working in employment, and then we'll have an opportunity to follow up with them in more time and say, look, your exam is in January the 6th or 5th or 10th or whatever it actually is, we'll work with you, which would suit our community and our kids.
And your teachers would have been up for that too?
Oh, look, my teachers are brilliant. They are up for anything because they can see these students that have got potential to do better, and they will move heaven and earth to try and get our students, you know, in front.
What is the situation that many of your pupils are in that is going to make this sudden return so difficult?
So a lot of our students, my Year 13 cohort in particular, 37% are in employment now. Some students are struggling with just trying to be motivated to get online at Year 13 and including our Year 12 school leavers. So for us, this week has been about contacting homes to see how they are, you know, what's happening, are you okay? Your family's okay, all of those, and so learning has taken a back seat until we're able to manage and get a hold of where our students are actually at. And now this has basically taken their well-being out the window and pushed us to make a decision to try and get them back into school now.
What sort of pressures are they under? You mentioned some are working. What other pressures are these young people under?
Yeah, so a lot of our students come from big families, so they're looking after their siblings. They've taken full responsibility to help support their families. I spoke to Claire, one of the directors, earlier, and told her about an incident of one of our Year 13 boys who put himself in hospital prior to the holidays, the first week of the school holidays, because he could feel his mental well-being changing, his thoughts and his ideas. We're starting to change. Now he's the main breadwinner in his home. You know, his mum's quite sick. The sickness benefit doesn't cover enough. And we spoke to him actually the other day, and he's under a tremendous amount of stress. He's worried about his mum. He wants to try and get out of hospital, but he knows he's in the best place. So that's just one. And if there's one, there's more.
It's not just the breadwinning for the family. Some of these kids have been put in a position through no fault of the family, I understand, in some cases, where they're essentially the parent.
That's correct. Yep, that's correct. And we've got a lot of our students who are engaging, you know, as late as 2 o'clock in the morning because that's the only time or opportunity they could actually get without any disruptions. So we're logging the times that they're coming on to onto the Google platform or into the school platform, and it's late at night. It's between the hours of 10 and 3 in the morning, so where they should be sleeping. So it's these sorts of things that, like you said, no fault of their own, but that's the only time they're trying to get to finish schoolwork.
So the reopening as of next week now gives them this decision to make in many instances, or if they are going to try and come back, they're going to try and be ready for exams by November. Do you believe for many that is just too much pressure?
Oh, way too much pressure. We yesterday afternoon, a couple of our teachers were already talking to some of our students, and they said, "Miss, we're not going to come back. We can't come back now. That means we're going to have to, stop doing work at home or stop working." They said, "We're not coming back. If we have to make a choice, school is not the choice," which is really disappointing.
Tell me about some of these students. 37%. Not returning, did you say? What was
37% are actually in employment now.
Oh, for goodness sake. Okay, so now they're going to have to face the choice, and the family's going to have to face the choice, whether they give up that employment income and come back to school. Or else they see school moving on without them.
That's great.
Can you tell me
about... It's really disheartening, because at the beginning of the year we had, these students are very, academically able. Their pathway was to go to university. Their pathway was to a career. Our head boy and head girl are both working. Our head boy himself wants to be a journalist, and he's an exceptionally bright young man, but he's working. The dilemma that he's going to be placed in, and even my head girl who wants to be, wants to go to university and become a teacher, the dilemma that they're actually in, these are academically able students that are now put under pressure to make decisions.
Disheartening for you, because as you said, some of these students are high achieving academic students who now are put in this position of their education versus this immediate need for their family. Is there a way forward, Davida, for those who have gone into work now to somehow keep them engaged to education or somehow incorporate the education into work? Because this is a lot of students, and students, as you say, I know some were doing health sciences, right, which suggests they might be the doctors and nurses we're looking for of the future.
Yeah, that's correct. In our health science class, out of the 34 students that are there, all but three are not working. So that's alarming. That's alarming. Like you said, these are doctors and nurses. But we are trying to work with employers to try and go into their workspace to have a look at what options or what learnings they could actually do within those careers, and try and encourage our students to be ambitious about what they're doing now. If they do see a pathway in there, what can that actually lead to? It's not their first chosen career, but at least it's trying to get them to achieve standards within their workplace, to get them to a level 3 certificate at least, NCEA, but also to look beyond what they're doing now within that workplace.
So if they stayed engaged, at least with building up their qualifications, there's a chance of full re-engagement at some point.
Well, exactly. And if they're continuing to learn it, they might actually go, you know what, this isn't me. I'm going to go back now. I'm going to, but if they get stuck in that, I'm just going to turn up and work and put money and food on the table and not be ambitious about what they're actually doing, we're going to lose them, definitely.
What are your concerns for those who do come back and are trying to prepare for exams? We've talked about the mental stress that they're under for all sorts of reasons. And what are teachers doing to somehow prepare them in a matter of weeks after all this disruption?
Yeah, so our teachers, they're a little bit upset as well. They are stressed out because they're stressed about the students that they know are very capable of doing well in these exams, and then possibly not being there when we do return. We are looking at just focusing on assessments, which, education for years have tried to take that away from secondary schools. This isn't just about the assessments. You're teaching to the assessment. Well, we've actually haven't got a choice now. There's going to be a huge focus around that. Some exams for students were stressful in normal circumstances. So now this isn't a normal circumstance. The stress is even going to be more so. So it's a matter of how well we manage that as well, and what do we put in place for our students, one, to feel safe and comfortable coming back to school in a community where COVID is very evident and vaccinations are really low, and to get them to come and sit in a hall with other students is going to be a challenge.
Schools, there had to be moved towards schools resuming at some point, but what could have been the alternative, and certainly what level of consultation was or wasn't there about this?
Well, I think, to be honest, I think we should have been given a heads up at least to be able to prepare, you know, groups. I mean, Minister Hipkins announced yesterday afternoon schools were opening, and then he had an interview with Seven Sharp and said that, you know, the students will be stagnated. So those mixed messages in themselves that were a little bit confusing. They should have said to us or given us an opportunity, okay, so your focus may be your year 13 students sitting external exams, you know, manage, we want them back at school by week three to try and get them re-engaged, to try and work on a plan to re-engage them back into school. But this is sort of like left field. There was no indication whatsoever about returning this fast and this quick. We knew it was going to come, but a heads up would have been, you know, preferred to give us enough opportunity to really plan, particularly in a community like mine. It's chaos. It really is chaos out there, particularly, you know, for these kids, because they're lost. And it's going to take a while to actually get back to normal, even if we do start the next year at proper times. The cleanup is going to take at least two years to get the school and get the community confident back into learning and education.
Davida Suasua, Principal of Tangaroa College in Otara, I was speaking to her just before we came on air this morning. With us now is Pete Jones, Tumuaki Principal of Manurewa High School. Kia ora and welcome, Pete.
Kalofalayatu, Catherine. Lovely to be here. Kia ora, how are you?
I'm really good. Thanks very much, and thanks for your time. May I ask the same question I did of Davida at first, which is your response to the Minister's announcement that senior students are to return to school next Tuesday?
To me, it feels rushed, and it feels pressured. And when I say pressured, I think pressure coming from other parts of the education system and some of the old traditional systems and structures coming to fore that, you know, it's all about the exams, it's all about the externals. So, yeah, we're feeling pretty rushed and pretty pressured.
What would be a better way forward for students? And may I ask, are you experiencing some similar issues at your school? Some students who are in the workforce and will simply not be able to get back next week, or will face and their families an impossible decision?
Absolutely. I've been listening to your interview with Davida, and so much of what she's talked about in her context with her school is exactly the same at Manurewa High School. We've got lots of students working. We've got lots of students in Big Whānau looking after siblings. We've got lots of families who are still concerned because Manurewa, along with, you know, most of Auckland is a suburb of interest. We know that COVID Delta is out in the community. So, yeah, it's difficult. It's hard. It's challenging.
What do you know about how many are likely to come back and how many are likely to stay either at work or caring for family, or perhaps there's just a concern about COVID?
Yeah, so since the announcement yesterday, we've been canvassing all our senior students. So we'll have that data tomorrow. But, you know, even based on last year when we came back, we only got 50% of our students back immediately when we went into level two last year. And it took about 3 weeks for those attendance rates to rise. I think it's going to be even more challenging this time. We've been in lockdown for over double the time. It is much closer and much more prevalent in the community. and people are really concerned. So I'd be surprised if we get more than 50% back next week.
What has been the story with keeping up some kind of engagement and connection? Education particularly difficult, learning particularly difficult, but just keeping kids connected to the idea of school and learning. What's been possible and what's been really hard?
Yeah, so we had lots of learnings from last year and we've got really strong online learning systems set up, but we've put Hawara first right the way through this lockdown. So we've been constantly checking in with students and whānau and trying to support in any way we can, and then trying as best as possible to keep our students motivated and engaged in their learning. But it's not easy, and lots of whānau have got some really difficult challenges that they're dealing with. So our teachers have been fantastic. They've been working as hard as possible, and we've been doing the best that we can in these circumstances, and just constantly reassuring our students that we've got their backs, that we're supporting them, that we can get through this. We've got a hashtag we got this, you know, and it's just trying to support young people. And I hope very much that I would love it if, you know, the government and the country could just make sure, especially for our leavers, that everyone's pathway is still open, whatever qualification level that they get to, because of all the interruptions that we've had. Just believe in their potential, believe in the experiences and the positive things that they will have been through this lockdown, and just let them go on their pathway as if things had been normal.
How can we do better by them? In other words, if this year for some is perhaps a little short of a write-off, frankly, when it comes to their qualifications progress, if not their educational progress, if it's knocked their confidence, if it's knocked their connection to education, what practically can be done? We heard about Davida engaging with some of those employers and saying, help us keep these kids on the qualifications framework. Is that one route? What is the route to perhaps bringing students back and trying to have another go at this year at some point, or perhaps looking at, again, alternative pathways to keep them connected to qualifications? Maybe a year or two down the track, they can get that chance to go to university. What are some of the ways we can make up for this?
So I'd say all of the above. We've got to collaborate with employers and try and be flexible in the way that we offer learning programs that can also connect in with employers so that it supports students to continue to serve their families and meet the needs of their families. I think, you know, the government could look at innovation in terms of paying students to stay in education. That's a long-term investment in the future of New Zealand. You know, I was listening to Davida talk about our health science kids, and we've got the same setup at our school, and we want those kids to be the nurses and the doctors and the health workers and the support people in the future. So let's work proactively to keep them engaged on those pathways. I hope that universities and tertiary organisations can be really flexible around their entry requirements. And I think this was a missed opportunity to get rid of an antiquated exam system that has no bearing to the future of work. And the late and great Sir Ken Robinson said schools kill creativity. I actually think it's external examinations and university entrance that kill creativity. So let's take that opportunity to move things forward. Let's face it, Cabinet didn't go and sit in a room on their own for 3 hours to work out how they were going to plan things for New Zealand. They collaborate, they work with experts, they problem solve, they critically challenge and think about all the things that they're faced with. So let's create those environments in school. Let's get that collaboration happening across all sectors, and let's support our young people, because it's been such a challenging time.
Are there mental health issues among your students? Certainly stresses, but stresses that are really pushing some.
Yeah, absolutely they are. And I mean, I think, you know, particularly for teenagers, when it's a challenging time in their life, they've got lots of changes going on. And when they're taken away from their peers and that face-to-face contact, I know we give them a hard time around all the technology, and yet they do really value that social interaction, and it's such an important part of what schools are all about and what society is all about. And so, you know, longer term, anything we can do to make things safe and get back to those situations, that will be great. But at the moment, this all just feels a little bit rushed, and lots of contradictions around the health messages that are going out there.
You alluded to the fact that there might have been pressure from some schools traditionally with high exam results and rating the importance of exam results very highly, if I read you correctly. Do you believe they have pressured this sudden move, or pressured at least for the exams to happen, rather than doing something a bit more novel, like staging them later? As Davida said, if the teachers are up for it, giving it a couple of months and maybe trying to do it in January or February, or alternatively, as you may have suggested, let's just do a different assessment for this very different year. But do you believe the government's been pressured by those who want to get the exams done?
Short answer, yes.
Are you looking for innovation from the minister and the ministry with respect to the students we've been discussing this morning, who do otherwise appear like they are now in a workforce, not going to university, not doing their health sciences, not becoming journalists, not becoming teachers, as we've heard their ambitions are? Does there need to be an innovation for these students that involves the ministry acknowledging the extraordinary situation?
Yeah, absolutely there does. And, you know, here's the time for it to happen. Here's the need for it to happen. Otherwise, we're going to have a lost generation. And I think, you know, for the traditionalists, for the people who sit in very different privileged circumstances, I don't think they fully understand the context of so many young people in New Zealand. And I think, you know, bearing in mind what they've been through, we need to innovate. We need to be creative. We need to make sure that we open up the pathways for those students that they had planned at the start of the year, and trust in them, and trust in their potential, and trust in their greatness, that they will be able to be successful and they will be able to achieve, and come up with some innovative ways about how we can support those young people who are put in that really difficult situation where they have to go out to work to put food on the table for their whānau, to contribute to support their whānau. Let's find some ways that we can keep them engaged with their education so that they can achieve their potential. It's a no-brainer for me.
Ngā mihi nui. Pete Jones is Tomoaki, principal of Manurewa High School.